Good morning. Be seated, everybody. Those of you that are visiting with us, we're very glad that you came to worship with us today. We consider you our honored guest and glad that you came to worship God with us. We have a number of announcements and prayer requests today. Before we get into our lesson, we'll address these. We need to remember Marilyn. She is going, she's already in California for a few weeks. She's going there to help her cousin Jim. He's having knee replacement surgery and helping with the family to care for him. Daryl texted me this morning, and his friend that we have prayed for before, David, who lives in San Diego, the cancer is back, and he is in the hospital. Sounds pretty serious. So we will remember him, and Daryl also. It's tough to see a friend. He and Daryl had been friends since junior high, and it's tough to go through that. I've been in some contact with Robert. His wife Michelle has had two back surgeries, one Wednesday and one last Friday, and she is recovering good. Had a little bit of a setback with some low blood pressure. They've got that worked out, but she's recovering from two different back surgeries just within a couple of days. So we'll remember her. Maxine is up and moving. Pray for Tracy and Marion recovering from helping her load. We find out we're not as young as we used to be, but Maxine's going to be moving to Dallas and has got a promotion job there, and we wish her the luck. And now Marion's going to be following her there in a couple of days, and will be there for a while, so we need to remember Marion while she's traveling. Taylor Watkins has requested prayers, and I tell you, this is something every one of us could be asking for: discernment and wisdom in making the right choices for our future. That I may be an example of walking in the way for others. What a wonderful desire to have, and we will remember Taylor in our prayers, and that's something every one of us every day should be asking for ourselves. And Michael Rankins is asking prayers for his daughter and grandson, who are going to be traveling to Las Vegas from the San Francisco Bay Area this week to visit for a few days. And he would appreciate prayers for their safe travel coming here. So we will remember all these in our prayers. And if you're jotting them down, to remember them in your daily prayers this week, that would be helpful. Let's bow in prayer to God together with our brothers and sisters on behalf of these that have been mentioned. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, bowing down before our Father and great Creator. We thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for creating the avenue of prayer that we can come to you with our innermost thoughts, desires, and fears. Dear God, we ask that you be with those that have been mentioned, with Marilyn as she's helping care for her cousin and her family. Please be with Jim as he goes through knee replacement. Dear God, we ask that you be with David, Daryl's friend. Dear God, we've prayed for him, and he has gotten a lot of relief, but the cancer has come back, and we pray that you be with the doctors as they treat him. We ask that you be with David's family as they deal with this situation. And even Daryl, it's tough to see a good friend like that, loved ones and friends face situations like that. Dear God, we ask that you be with Robert and Michelle as Michelle's recovering from her back surgery. We pray that the surgery is successful and will alleviate a lot of the problem that she's been having. Dear God, we ask that you be with Maxine in her move to Dallas. We ask that she be able to find a sound church home there that she can attach herself to. We pray for her move, for safety, and for this new job position that she will be successful in and that she will enjoy and do well in. Dear God, be with Marion as she goes and helps her get settled in, and safe travels for her. Dear God, we ask that you be with Michael's daughter and grandson while they come to visit. It is so nice that they will be able to do this, but we ask and that their travels be safe, enjoyable, and that they can return home safely. And dear God, we ask that you be with Taylor as she contemplates some decisions in her life, that everything that she pursues will be in accordance to your will, and that she finds a way to serve you in any and all circumstances that she finds herself in. Dear God, we ask that for all of us, that we serve you not depending on the circumstance, but in spite of the circumstance. Dear God, we ask that you be with us the rest of this worship to you. We hope everything that is and has been done has been in accordance to your word, and that you're pleased with the worship that we've given you. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Well, last week, we started a look at the seven letters to the churches in Asia. And the Apostle John has recorded and written down what Jesus had told him to. These are the words of Jesus. John has recorded them. And last week we looked at the church in Ephesus. A very well-known church, a church that the Apostle Paul had spent quite a bit of time at, had written a letter to, etc. And this next church we're going to look at is the church at Smyrna, not too far from Ephesus. This is the only place where in Revelation where the church of Smyrna is even mentioned. We know very little about it outside of what is written here. It wasn't one of those whiz-bang churches that everybody was always talking about. It wasn't the church in Jerusalem. It wasn't the church of Philippi. But it's one of the few churches in this grouping of seven letters there was no condemnation of. They were doing what they needed to do. They were kind of under the radar. They're not listed all over the New Testament. They weren't well known far and wide. Kind of like another congregation I think of, but they were doing God's word. Let's look at some information about Smyrna. It is there on the Aegean Sea, about 50 miles north of Ephesus. Paul had been to Ephesus in his journeys. He had bypassed Smyrna by boat. And so Smyrna just happened to be missed out on of seeing Paul in his journeys. Its name came from myrrh. I don't know exactly how that transpired, but I found it interesting that its name, Smyrna, came from the use and the development of myrrh, which was popular in that region, and it was used in religious incenses and in medicine. It's about 50 miles from Ephesus, and it was founded because of its strategic location by Alexander the Great. It's been around for a while. It was the birthplace of the great writer Homer. A Christian named Polycarp had lived there and had actually known and had learned from John, the Apostle John. Polycarp would live on a number of years beyond John, and from, it's not in church literature, but early church writings and secular writings, that Polycarp had been an elder in the church there in Smyrna, and that he was actually martyred in Smyrna. He was burned alive at the stake. An edict went out, a law, that people had to burn incense and swear allegiance to Caesar or face death. Polycarp refused. He wasn't being disrespectful. In fact, according to secular writings, he even invited the soldiers that were sent to arrest him. He fed them, invited them into his home, was cordial to them. Just a little, I don't like a lot of Bible what ifs because you can't prove it, but I wonder what they thought as they had to escort him out to be burned alive. But Polycarp made the famous statement when, right before he died, he says, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I now blaspheme my king and savior? You threaten me with fire that burns for a season, and after a little while is quenched. But you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. He refused to bow down to Caesar. He refused to burn incense, possibly even made of myrrh that was used in incense. I don't know. But he made that great statement, he made that great stand, and then died for it. No condemnation was found in this congregation. Only acknowledgement of their good traits and then encouragement for some of the things that they would be facing in the future. This photograph was taken in Smyrna of some of the ruins and so forth. The caption of this photograph, it just said ruins in Smyrna, but it makes me wonder if that was a baptistry. It might have been a burial box, a coffin, or it could have been a baptistry. I don't know. Makes you wonder. Starting off in verse 8, and I thank Pete for reading the scripture reading today. This is a very short passage, but it starts off and says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life." Jesus is reminding them first off of his credibility. "I had died and I came to life. It would behoove you to listen to me." Not too much different than what Jesus had said back in Revelation 1, verse 8, where he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It's important to remember that. And he said something very similar to this to the church at Smyrna. I am everything. I am, was, and is to come. Listen to what I have to say. And he says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. That is some strong words. But Jesus is just, he's love, he's unicorns, he's glitter. He's telling, he's aware of some of the people, of their actions, not them, but he's aware of people that call themselves followers of God. But they're really a synagogue of Satan. But he says, I know your works. I know what you are going through. Nobody could ever say, but Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how bad people are treating us. Yeah, I do. And Jesus is saying, I know your works. And I know your tribulation and your poverty. This was a rich city. But these people have been being mistreated. Christians, there was an all-out war on Christianity. Not unlike, you know, we're sometimes a little lulled into a false sense of security living here in the United States. There's still persecution going on throughout the world. Our persecution here might be social and maybe personal. Ridicule, things like that. Poking fun at us, you know, in the media or whatever. In other parts of the world, it's severe. It's to the point of death. Just like these people. He says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days, not a literal 10 calendar days, but for a short time, for a while. It's not going to last forever. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You Christians in Smyrna, you are facing some things I want you to stay strong on. It may kill some of you, but you remain faithful until death. Not, oh, it's getting a little bad. God would understand. No, be faithful until death. Could you imagine you and your family being arrested or whipped or beaten or seeing your loved ones whipped and beat? I know me that had to kill me. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I know me. They would have had to kill me. They throw them in prison. Christians were being used as spectacles for people to be seen ripped apart by lions. They were burned alive. They were whipped to death or rotted away in prisons. So when Jesus tells them, I know your tribulation. Just like Stephen, he's telling them, you keep your eyes on me. Just like Peter, you keep your eyes on me. They were going to be going through some tribulation. Matthew 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy and, excuse me, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Do good to those who hate you. I'm assuming Polycarp had probably read those words. He at least got it. I need to reread this daily. That's just my weakness. You may be able to do that. I need to love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, Bruce, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? What benefit is it if I'm do good to my brother Don? He's my brother in Christ. What about those that spitefully use you, that are persecuting you? Jesus said that on the Sermon on the Mount. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians as a reminder to the Christians in Corinth. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same thing Jesus is telling the Christians there in Smyrna. We have a victory. I died and came to life. I've conquered death. So will you. In Matthew 10, verse 22, Jesus is telling his followers, he goes, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Not almost to the end, not give it a shot for a little bit, but to the end will be saved. And then just a few verses later, Jesus is telling them, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a big difference there. Everything we have can be taken from us. Everything we have, our possessions, our home, our car, everything can be stolen, burned up in a fire, lost, just wear out. Our bodies, our loved ones, everything we have can be taken except our faith. Our faith, our values, whatever you want to call it. When we lose those, no one's taking them from us. We give them up freely. We give them away. Nobody can take our faith. And Jesus is saying, don't lose your faith. Stay strong to the end. Don't worry about people that can kill you. Is that all you got? I've conquered death, and so can you, Jesus tells them. Psalm 18. This is not just a New Testament concept. Going back to Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He can kill me? Again, is that all you got? We're told to be faithful through inconvenience, through hardship, through threats, even until death. Dick posted this picture of Valon teaching. I think it was done, was it this past week? It's recent. Would Bruce go and sit on the ground to hear the word of God? Oh, I can get down. It's just hard for me to get up. I can get down there just fine. I can't do that. Jesus is telling us to be faithful until death, through inconvenience, through hardship, through persecution, through the threat of persecution, in spite of a Super Bowl being on, in spite of it's my birthday, in spite of grandma is in town from Des Moines, Iowa, or whatever. We couldn't be here because grandma's in town. Bring grandma. She would enjoy it. Worshiping God. And Jesus finishes up his letter to Smyrna. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. This was a small congregation that didn't set the world on fire, not mentioned in tons of different places, wasn't the second home of the Apostle Peter, wasn't on Paul's list of places to go. But Jesus encourages them and says, you're doing good. I know your works. There was no but, like we saw with Ephesus. Be faithful until death. The scriptures say it best. Lesson is yours. The outline is yours. You might want to look over some of those supplemental scriptures again this week. If we can be of service to you in the invitation, we always offer an invitation. If you're unfamiliar with that, when Don leads us in the song in a moment, we will all stand. If you need to respond through prayers, repentance, or the need of baptism, please come forward and we'll address those needs.